Well, one of the things that we talked about and I shared an email about was the love dare. And let's see, where's the book thing? And we actually have a few more copies in the bookstore. If you want to purchase it, you do not have to purchase it. But I do want to go through this as a congregation. And I want to begin to enter into this challenge, because basically it's about growing with who we are. It's not just about, I mean, the book was set up for relationships between a husband and a wife, and we'll make modifications as we go. But I'm going to print out the dare each week, and, you know, each challenge. And they'll be available. They're on the tables outside right now, so that you can pick a copy up. And basically, it just tells you what it is for each week. And it gives you an opportunity to participate and to journal anything that happens with you during that time. And I encourage you that as you go through this, to just look at it, read it, and give it your best shot. Because the more you put into this, the more you're going to get out of it. And it's not about necessarily about you having, you know, between you and your spouse. Although if you're in a situation that you have a spouse, that's probably the best land to sow into. I can tell you right now. But it's also for those who are single. It's for those who have, you know, if you just have a friend and you want to have a better relationship. And it's about growing with Christ. So why are we pursuing this? I just want to ask you, I just want to validate something with you for just a moment. I want to just ask for a show of hands. Who didn't grow up in a perfect home? Okay. Yeah. All right. Who's ever had a difficult or a dysfunctional relationship? Husbands, don't be smacking the wife on the way up. Hallelujah. So it looks like it's pretty much unanimous that we all have some room to grow. And that's what we want to talk about a little bit today, is growing in God. Growing in our relationship, growing in our ability to relate to one another, growing in that ability to understand who God is through this person that happens to be next to you. Whether that person's your pastor. Okay, you can at least laugh. Your spouse, your best friend. Because it's always, there's always something else that can God, there's always a little more that God can do in those relationships. Hallelujah. So now that we know that we're all okay because we're all dysfunctional. We can proceed with what this is the purpose of our challenge here. Thank you, Jesus. That's the wonderful part, because the more we do this, the more we'll meet Jesus. The more we desire to perfectly love one another, the more perfect God's love becomes in us. I need to write that one down. 1 John 4:16 says, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." And that's kind of a foundational scripture for this, because as we begin to dwell in God and God in us, that there is one thing that describes God above everything else, and that God is love. He's patient and long-suffering towards us. His desire is for us. His desire is to reach us and to touch us and to talk to us and to share with us, to encourage us and uplift us, and at the same time to draw us near. And God, as He proceeds into this relationship that we have with Him, He's always looking to draw us. He's looking to perfect us. He is the author and perfecter of our faith. So with these reasons, we begin to look, and I want to give you 10 reasons here why I think that we should participate in the challenge. Why we should participate with the love dare. And I'm going to just list them off to you, and then I'm going to come back and fill in the blanks. Number one, we want to look like Jesus. Number two, we want to set an example for our family. We want to set an example for our family. Number three, there's no downside. How many opportunities do you get where there's no downside? In business, you hope that you have a minimal downside if you're making an investment. Here, there is no downside. Four, it's an opportunity to learn about ourselves. Five, deepens our relationships. Six is love overcomes all fear. Seven is simply tools. Okay, guys, we can relate to that. Eight, it exercises our faith. Nine, it strengthens you. And 10, which I've already alluded to a couple times, is it draws us closer to Him. You know, the reason that I wanted to address this today, and I don't intend to fill all of it as we go forth, we're going to do one challenge for this next week. And then as I get feedback, we may increase that to two, possibly even three challenges a week, depending on what kind of feedback I get from y'all and as to how it's going. But, I know that a lot of times we'll consider, well, I don't really, I don't have time for that, or I don't need that, but I want you to know that this is more, as you can just see from the topics here, it's more to it than just a simple marriage counsel. It's a lifestyle change that I'm looking for. It's a lifestyle change in how we relate one to another. Because you see, if I begin to relate and know and respect the things that are going on in Anne's life, then I can come alongside her in what she's doing. The same with Carolyn, and the same with Mark, and the same with Noe, and the same with each one. If I can begin to draw into you guys to understanding with who you are and relationship with who you are, if I can love you more perfectly, then that makes us as a group stronger. Wouldn't you imagine that the bridegroom has a desire for the bride? I know the bridegroom has a desire for the bride. And the same as the father of the bridegroom has a desire for the bride. So it would behoove us, if we want to look like Jesus, to have a desire for the bride. And guys, if you're, it's a little easier for us to be on that part of it because we have a desire for the bride. But gals, you can place yourself in that position. I had an encounter with the Lord recently, and in this encounter, He was the bridegroom, and I was the bride. And I was standing at the threshold. And here at the threshold, I could feel and I could know that the intimate desire that He had for me. How He wanted to bring me into His presence. And while the scenario was a little uncomfortable for me as a person, I understood the impact that it had in my soul. And the impact that it had on my spirit. Because my spirit began to come alive with the understanding of how much His desire is for us. But see, there's even a greater thing. Because one of the pillars of this church, on the seven pillars, is salvation. And how can we truly have a love for the lost when we don't even love ourselves? How can we truly love the lost when we don't love our brother or our sister who's next to us? How can we truly love the lost when we can't even love our spouse? You know, I forget now whose testimony this was. So if it was yours, forgive me if I mess it up. But there was a man, he was going down the road and he had all the Jesus stickers and Jesus loves you and everything else all over the back of his car. And he gets a flat. And he gets out and he changes the flat, puts the spare on, and the spare's flat. And at this point he gets upset because it's raining and it's all, and he just begins to beat the car with the tire iron. Now, what do you think that the people saw as they drove by seeing that Jesus loves you and the man out here beating his car with a tire iron? There's something in us that's got to change. I understand the frustrations, but there's something in us that's got to be able to rise up and say, hey, I'm a Christian. Hey, I have Jesus inside of me and it's greater than this flat tire. We've got to overcome. You know, there's an evangelist, and you all would know who if I said the name, but he, part of his testimony when things began to happen for him was that he had the ability to love the many and could not love the one. Because see, when you stand up here, there's a certain transparency that occurs, but there's also a certain amount of control to that environment. And if you're afraid to let somebody in, you can determine when you know, how much of people that you engage. But if I have a relationship with you on a daily basis, you're going to see me in my good times and my bad times. And that's real life. And in that, the opportunity to engage someone on a whole different level. We can go through and we can come in here every Sunday. We can go, hi, Jack. And nice to have great weather today, Jack. And see you next week, Jack. And never engage. Or we can come in here and say, brother, I had a great week and here's the testimony. Or brother, I had a tough week and could you pray for me? And we can engage. So as we begin to open up to one another, this is the evangelist found out that there's a fear that comes. And we got to overcome those things. See, it's easy sometimes when you get rewarded for something to feel that you can go and engage that. I can remember a point in time where I could go out and I could hug a bum on the street who had thrown up all over himself and everything else. And I could hug him and love him because there was a reward attached to the other thing. People would look at that and go, wow, what a wonderful human being. See, God's looking at our hearts and it's a checkpoint for us to embrace Him. It's time to get past ourselves so we can manifest the kingdom of God. And that starts in our homes. It starts in our relationships. And then it goes on the streets. Evangelize our lives. Love is the end goal of everything we do as a Christian. Love should be the end goal. The thing that motivates us to move and to behold and to speak. It's what motivated God when He gave us Jesus. It's what motivated God when He gave us the Holy Spirit. You see, I never really even thought about the Holy Spirit as being a gift. But He is. He's a tremendous gift. Because that's a gift of who God is. It's the promise within. See, the Word says that He's earnest of our inheritance. He's basically the down payment of what's to come. So all the love that God is, this Holy Spirit comes into us bringing that love with Him because He is love, the same as God is love. He is light, the same as God is light. He is truth, the same as God is truth. And He comes to bring those things within us so that we can begin to operate out of that fountain of life that God has ordained for us to operate out of. Hallelujah. You know, we want to set an example for the family. Because the greatest thing that you can do for your children is to love your spouse. To love God first and love your spouse. Because as we do that, that is the greatest opportunity we have to speak into their lives. To create a border and a safety around them. To create something that they know that they can rely upon. Because see, when we love, 2 John, I think it was, says that when we love God and obey His commandments, then we're loving the children. So as we begin to love Him, when we begin to walk in obedience with Him in this thing called relationship, we're modeling something for the children. When we can love even beyond the boundaries of what would be normal, we set a testimony. I realize that not everybody's in an ideal situation. And it's because of that brokenness that I want to engage this. It's because of that brokenness that we should engage this so that we can become a greater resource for our brothers and sisters who are yet to come. Because the more perfectly we can love one another, the more perfectly we're going to be able to open our arms to those who come in. Because those who come in are going to be broken and even more broken than we are. So we can begin to lend a hand and begin to lift them up out of the place that they have been. And bring them into a place that stands in front of the light of Christ. So we want to set an example for our family. And that goes also for our spiritual families. Because as we talked about 2 weeks ago, each one of us is being charged with a spiritual family. We are the fathers of the next generation. Because we've accepted Christ, because we've begun to grow up and mature in who He is, as we become sons of God, then we have a responsibility to reach out to that next generation and give them a hand. Hallelujah. There's no downside to this. You might say, well, Pastor, you just don't understand what I'm dealing with. You don't understand who it is that I've got sleeping next to me. You don't understand who it is that my daddy is. You don't understand who it is, what my mommy did to me. Believe me, I understand. I know what it's like to live in fear. I know what it's like to live underneath control. I know how hard it can be to break out and overcome those things in our lives and to break those barriers off of our mind because it's the things that devastate the mind. I can survive the physical abuse, but it's the things that devastate the mind that are the hardest to overcome. But I'm here as living proof and living testimony that it can be done. And if God is not a respecter of persons, He can do the same for you. Hallelujah. He's not a respecter of persons. If one person can overcome, then all. Jesus overcame every barrier for us. He broke that fear barrier. He broke the control barrier. He broke the manipulation barrier. He broke the religious barrier. The worst that could happen by your entering into this is that your spouse or your friend doesn't receive it from you. That's the worst that could happen. But even in that, you still get to change. You still get to get better. You still get to get healing. You still get to rise up with the Spirit of Christ within you. You still get to make a difference to the atmosphere that's around you. Even as we just change the things that come out of our mouth, we change the atmosphere that's around us. And we can do it on purpose. We can come into agreement with what God is trying to do and ordain in this hour. We can come into agreement and we can come into accountability with each other. So that leads us into the next thing, which is we get to learn about ourselves. You know, it's easy to feel holy when you're not pressed. I can feel real good because I got it together until something happens. Somebody took my candy bar. And all of a sudden, I'm depressed and sad and mean because I'm going to get my candy bar. See, it's when we're pressed. It's like a tube of toothpaste. It's when you squeeze it, when you find out what's inside. And it's when the pressure's on. But there's something good about even the pressure, because the pressure is a place of acceleration. See, in the natural, in the world, when a carburetor is made, for example, they rely on an effect called the Venturi effect. If you don't have enough to share with everybody, you can't do that. And then this Venturi effect, and basically what it is it's a wide place that comes into a narrow place that comes back into a wide place. And as it comes in, it gets pressed and pressed and pressed and pressed. And when it gets to a place, it comes to a greater velocity as it's pressed. And it's shot out into the other side. And as it's shot out into the other side, as it comes back into that wide place, there's a vacuum that's created behind it that draws others with it. So there's an acceleration that's available to you in this opportunity as you begin to learn about yourself. And you can learn from the successes and you can learn from the failures. The trick is to rejoice in the successes and to rejoice even in the failure. Don't receive condemnation, but receive an acceleration. Because see, there's something that the enemy has purposed, and he wants you to receive a condemnation. And there were several words about that spoken this morning. And I can tell you right now, condemnation is not from God. Don't come into agreement with it. Whether or not you come into agreement with it is up to you. What happens is past experience would cause us to try to come into agreement with it, but we don't have to. We can choose to act differently. We can choose to engage the Spirit of God within us and not react out of condemnation. We can choose to engage God and realize and believe I am all the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. Amen. It's okay, girl. I don't mind. Somebody wants to add something to this that makes it better. Hallelujah. So we can learn things as we go through. When we fail, we have the opportunity to learn what else we need to work on. Hang on a second.
I'm learning more and more about the value of His blood, Jesus' blood. Every problem, every anxiety, everything that is not harmony, everything that is not full of peace, anything that takes away your joy, the list is endless, but so is more His blood. If I gave you $100, you know what its worth is. If I gave you $1,000, you know what its worth is. How much was she sharing with me this morning? Do you know the value of my blood?
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The value of the blood. Father, we just pause for a moment, Lord, just to recognize the value of the blood in our life. To recognize that which saved us, that which purchased us, that which ordained a fellowship with You. To recognize, Lord, the value of the blood that washed away our sin. The value of the blood that has captivated us and brought us into a place of eternal life. The value of the blood that took away our sorrow, that took away the condemnation, and took away the rights of the enemy to our life. We recognize it and we thank You, Lord, this morning for a gift beyond all comparison. Thank You, my Jesus. Thank You, Father. No condemnation. Don't have church up here. It's an opportunity for us to deepen our relationships. See, it's an answer for that desire for the more. Because all of us, when we enter into a relationship or fellowship with somebody, when we enter into a marriage, well, there are certain expectations that we have, and not always do those things come up just the way we had planned. There's always that feeling that there's something more. And there's an opportunity here for us to step into that. Because most of us, while we desire that more in our relationship, we really don't know how to achieve it because we've never been taught. We've never had it modeled what a good relationship looks like. We've never began to understand what it takes on our side and what we should give and what we should release. And this is an opportunity to learn some of those things. You know, in my own life, I can't speak for y'all, but I know and I've experienced the prison of what I call the wall. Because as I grew up, there were things that were hurtful things that began that happened, and little by little, I just began to build this wall. And one brick by brick by brick, the wall got taller. And I began to... And I began to think that this wall was protecting me and that I needed the wall. And what really was happening was that all the hurts were still on the inside. They were behind the wall with me. But I didn't realize it. And all I really was doing was keeping those from on the outside from ever even being able to have the opportunity to love me. I could engage you on a very, I would let certain things come around to the front of the wall and engage you in that place. But you never got to be who I was. And when I met Christ, I began to see the wall for the prison that it was. And began to let the wall down. And I've experienced the other end of the relationship through my wife and then through Enrique and others. I love that brother. I love my wife. Our relationship today is light years beyond even where it was when our 25th anniversary. I mean, on that day, I thought it couldn't get better, and it has. With Enrique, I've been able to experience a relationship with a brother that runs so deep that we can share everything just intimately with each other. And no one understands that no matter what it is that I share with him, I'm going to get love reflected back to me. I'm going to have acceptance reflected back to me. And he likewise. And there's some times that we've had to say some difficult things to one another. It's like when you're not in line, that's what happens. But it's love. It's love. When I had a particular service down there this last time, and I was really trying to search within myself, but I wasn't looking quite in the right place as to why the service went the way it was. And Enrique just looks at me and just says, "Pastor, the people were ready." And that let me know where I had to look. And he was right. And I received it. See, because I knew that he said that not to spite me, not to hurt me, because he wanted to love me and he wanted to bring me into truth. And because of that, then that very next service, because I was able to find that place of repentance within me and to be able to yield to God what he wanted, because he would speak truth to me. And when I yielded to God what he wanted, all the glory on earth broke loose. I am hopeful that as we grow together, that we're going to have services like that on a regular basis. Not everyone that we meet is ready to engage that kind of a relationship. But I want you to cherish the ones that are. Love the ones who aren't. Accept them where they're at and cherish the ones who are. Because love overcomes all fear and opens our heart to a true freedom. The more we experience the love of God, the more we can love like God. The greater our capacity for love, the less we will fear the evil of rejection or abandonment or pain. I'm not afraid to engage you any longer because I'm not afraid of what the rejection could mean. Because I'm too busy looking for the one who can be loved to worry about the one who can't. My object here is no longer to feed me, but to feed those who are willing. See, when love, true agape, which is what God is a true agape. True agape enters into the picture, then it becomes about what we can give, not what we can take. When our relationship becomes what we can give, it changes the picture. If every child in high school could begin to realize that real love is about what you can give, God, it would have changed my life. It would have transformed everything I did. Because that whole part of my life was about what can I take. Love overcomes the fear. See, it's the fear that keeps us from being able to reach out. And the reality is there's no reason for that if we're truly wrapped up in His love. And it's about the tools. Any relationship, any quality relationship takes time and takes tools. It's kind of like a piece of wood. Probably anybody in here can slap some paint on a piece of wood. But a true craftsman can build something out of that same piece of wood that's beautiful. But it does take time and it does take tools. It takes a know-how. And that's what we want to impart through this process is that know-how. And it exercises our faith. Because faith works by love. And if faith works by love, then the flip side of that is that our love will work our faith. Our love will work our faith. Because when I reach out to love somebody, I'm going to have to begin standing in faith. And standing in agreement with some people more so than others. But I can stand in agreement with God. God is doing. That's called faith. I can exercise a godly hope on their behalf. That's faith. Love strengthens you. True love is a wellspring of life. There's nothing like knowing that you're loved and accepted in spite of what you've done. This lady here knows every deep, dark secret that I've ever had and still loves me. Isn't that awesome? It's wonderful to be able to love somebody and to behold somebody and to accept somebody. And then that which you want, you can sow. If you're looking for that, sow it into someone else's life. Into a friend's life. Maybe even to an ex's wife. It's a wellspring of life. To love God draws us closer to Him. Because the more that we love, the more of Him we need. We need His grace. We need to learn to love more completely. And in order to learn, in order to love more completely, we have to see Him. Because as we see Him, He is love. I want to shift gears a little bit because the first part of the assignment on this one is patience. It's a simple task. But it's a powerful tool. Think about it. What's the first thing to go when you get stressed? Why is that? Because it's uncomfortable. The stress is uncomfortable. The pressure is uncomfortable. But because the enemy wants to know that that's your witness. Because what is patience? Patience is a fruit of the Spirit. And he wants to squish that spirit right out of you. So he goes on the attack. And you know what? A lot of times in my life, I came right into agreement with him. I put it on me. I see by the grins that other people have put it on themselves. Thank you, Jesus. Love is patient. That's the very first thing in 1 Corinthians. Love is patient. 2 Peter 3 and 9 out of the NAS says this. The Lord is not slow about His promises, some count slowness, but is patient toward you. Not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. He is patient towards you. He's sowing patience. And when we sow patience, we find favor with God. 1 Peter 2:20 says, "For what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure this for finding favor with God." When we endure hard things, when someone treats us abusively, when we're being mistreated, and yet we respond with patience, it finds favor in God's sight. What a beautiful thing. You know, I've prayed, "God, show me your favor. Show me your grace." Well, you know what? I can earn it right there. By my patience, I can exemplify that which he can bless with his favor. Patience is a godly way to end a fight. Proverbs 15:1 says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up strife." See, it's really hard to fight with somebody when they just say, "You're right, I love you. I messed up, I'm sorry." But you know, and it doesn't always even take grievous words to stir up strife. Sometimes just a cold treatment. What did I do wrong? We know that. And there's a place in all of us that we've all done that. And we realize at least that it's better not for me to say anything sometimes, but our attitude when we're so self-righteous says a lot. Says a lot. Hallelujah. The goal of all this is love. I encourage you to join us, to learn to love and to be loved. As we go through this, love is going to manifest as the pillars. The pillar of evangelism, worship, intercession, healing, deliverance, discipleship, benevolence. All these things are an extension of love. The seven pillars that God has ordained and established as the vision in this church are all an extension of the love that He wants to bring forth in you and through you. That doorway leads into a world that needs to know God. And there's going to be a certain contingent of those, and I believe a great contingent of those, who are coming in seeking to know God. I want him to meet God in everyone's face. I want him to meet God in everyone's personality. I want him to meet God in every person that stands in this house, that they're willing to open and extend open arms and open hearts to love someone who's hurting, to love someone who doesn't know love yet, who's not been able to establish that within their own life. So I encourage you to join us as we learn to do the message and apply the love of God in our life. The first one says simply this, and you can get a copy for yourself just outside on the tables. The first part of this dare is fairly simple. Although love is communicated in a number of ways, our words often reflect the condition of our heart. For this week, resolve to demonstrate patience and to say nothing negative to your spouse or your friend at all. If the temptation arises, choose not to say anything, but not with an attitude. It's better to hold your tongue than to say something that you'll regret. Then I put Proverbs 15:1 on here as a reminder. And then there's a space on here for you to just journal your thoughts. Journal what happens as you come into those places. And as you'll make an effort in this, I guarantee that there'll be a tremendous payback. Because you're going to change. I'm going to change. This house is going to change. Hopefully our spouses and our friends change. But that's partly up to them. But we're going to change. So, Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity to love you. I thank you for the opportunity on this Valentine's weekend, Lord, to enter into a new phase of our life, to enter into a new depth of relationship, to enter into a new awareness of your purpose, and to answer the call. And Lord, we just give you the praise for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.